Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The Sports Virus Podcast.
Welcome to the Sports Virus Podcast, everybody. I'm Joe Castellano, along with Ray Woodson, and we're brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, where they've had the lowest prices in Marin County, California, for over 60 years. And we're brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco, offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Well, Ray, let's start with the San Francisco Giants. You were out there watching some spring training baseball, and we're going to talk about J.D. Davis, of course, because that's the A number one story that really happened. But what'd you think of the club? I know you saw Logan Webb pitch.
Yeah, he pitched, and that's about all I could say at this point. I mean, you know, it's March 13th. You don't get too alarmed, but he does have a 10 ERA. In spring, and he got cuffed around.
Yeah,
he got cuffed around. You know, they wanted him to get up to 70 pitches, and he did that. I think they were hoping he'd go a little deeper into the game than he did, but it was a merry-go-round against him. And you know, when he's right, he's serving up a lot of ground balls. Problem was, the ground balls were finding holes, and then there were a lot of gappers too. So that's indicative of him not getting the ball down. And obviously, a guy like that has to keep the ball down to be effective lower in the zone. It's not happening yet, but I don't sense any panic by the Giants. It's just, you know, if this is the Logan Webb, they start the season with peligro, danger.
Well, yeah, usually in spring training, you don't take too much stock in it because pitchers are working on things. But at some point, you want to see a good outing. You know, you don't want to go into the season feeling really bad and not having confidence, right, even if you're Logan Webb, who's, you know, the ace of the staff right now.
Oh, for sure. I think at some point before the season begins, they'd like to see that kind of progress. You know, it in the philosophy of most major league pitching staffs, you get this stuff out of the way now, right? If you're going to get the bad outings, if you're going to continue to work through things and do it the hard way, best to do it on March 13th or March 11th than when the season starts. But yeah, I think they want to see some progress in the next couple of outings before they go into the season because, you know, as we joked last time, the pitching staff is a band named Logan Webb and the question mark. Right. You don't want Logan Webb to be a question mark, too. So, but, you know, pitching being pitching, you can't always count on even your ace being the same guy the next year. Now, there are a lot of arms on this team that are very intriguing. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this is one result of going pitching heavy in the draft for a couple of years. There's no shortage of arms. Obviously, with the Giants, it's a lot of sinkers, a lot of ground ball pitchers. That's what they want. And by the way, again, that's why the signing of Matt Chapman was so significant. That's a comfort level for pitchers. And I think having Chapman and maybe Nick Ahmed on one side of the infield is not the worst thing in the world if you're a ground ball pitcher. But there's a whole lot still to be answered about this team. You know, Kyle Harrison, Keith Law rates him as the number one projected rookie impact player this year. How about that?
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to see whether he, over the course of a season, whether control issues become a problem with him. Otherwise, there's obviously tremendous upside. He's the top prospect. Jordan Hicks, I mean, he's developing a splitter along with that 100-mile-an-hour sinker. My goodness. Can he do this as a starter? If he can, they got something special. And that's why they signed him. They're looking at the upside. But the guy hasn't been a starter a lot of people are wondering what made them think after all these years as a reliever, he can make the transition to starter. Usually you see it the other way around, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Alex Cobb, I would say probably the most significant thing for the Giants that happened in surprise on Monday was not the game, but Alex Cobb getting 36 pitches in sooner than was projected as he was coming back from the hip surgery. I think, what was it, the end of October? He had the hip surgery, and they were looking at 6 months.
Yeah.
And now here,
a little ahead of schedule. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a month ahead of schedule. So they might be looking at him getting some spring training action. And if for a number of reasons, that would be a big plus for that pitching staff, especially with the young pitchers, if Cobb can get back and be the guy that he was. Robbie Ray, well, that's a second-half issue. They like what they've seen from Mason Black. And he looks like he might be filling one of the open rotation spots. Tristan Beck having the surgery for the aneurysm on the right arm. Maybe later on in the year he's available. Keaton Wynn has some elbow inflammation. They're bringing him along a little slowly. So all these question marks. And I think what the Giants are doing, as the entire baseball market is doing, is weighing all the factors before deciding to make any kind of commitment with one of those free agent pitchers that's still out there.
Yeah, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, those guys are still out there. And, you know, Matt Chapman was out there longer than anybody thought. You know, these Boris clients definitely have been waiting around for a good deal. And Chapman gets the three-year, $54 million contract from the Giants. I agree with you about the upgrade defensively. It wasn't that much of a difference statistically on the offensive side from J.D. Davis. So you did spend a lot more money. And then J.D. Davis basically got completely screwed, Ray. I mean, he won his arbitration, but because he won his arbitration, he doesn't have a guaranteed salary. And the Giants, they tried to trade him. It didn't work out. And he gets waived and no guaranteed salary. So he ended up losing millions of dollars.
Yeah, for now. You know, unless another team signs him, cleared waivers.
And pays him the same amount of money, right?
Right. And you know, maybe he goes back to the Mets where he had a couple of good years. We'll see about that. Hopefully it ends up okay for him. But for right now, it doesn't look great. And, I mean, you could say, well, he could have accepted the Giants' offer and gotten guaranteed money, but decided to go to arbitration, which is his right. There was obviously a loophole there that the players maybe didn't see when they got the new CBA a couple of years ago, because that's one of their sticking points was the arbitration money. So, you know, the Giants weren't born yesterday. I think they knew what they were doing as far as this player was concerned. I don't think they were trying to screw him over, but I think it was a confluence of events. One of them being the late developing free agent market and the fact that they were able to get Matt Chapman. And all of a sudden, there's not really a spot for J.D. Davis. So, yeah, I mean, very unfortunate for him, no doubt about it. And I think this whole situation is something that's going to be brought up in the next bargaining agreement. But for now, yeah, that's a loophole that I think the Giants exploited. They're a business first. I mean, let's face it. That's the cold, hard fact. And, you know, for a player and for the agent, it gets personal. And I think Farhan Zaidi acknowledged that, but, you know, he kind of shrugged and said, we acted in good faith. We did what we were allowed to do. So, I know it's kind of a sanguine attitude, but that's the way it is. It's a cold, hard business. And so they're going to have to make some adjustments, I think, to the rules or try to down the road. But you don't see this very often, do you? I think that this was a function partly of the late developing free agent market this year.
Yeah, I mean, I understand business and, you know, how cold it can be and that kind of stuff. But honestly, Ray, here's my criticism is that I don't like the way the Giants handled Brandon Crawford, who, you know, is a guy who is a big part of a couple of championship seasons. And I don't like the way they handled J.D. Davis. I mean, not giving him a phone call. And I got into it a little bit on Twitter with some people about this, about how, oh, yeah, well, you can't, you know, expect a phone call. You know, that's just the way it is. I don't know about that. I think that we're still human beings. We're human beings, and I understand corporate America and that kind of stuff where it can be really cold and harsh. But I think he deserved a phone call first saying, hey, we're going to sign Matt Chapman, and just kind of let him know. The way they've handled it is kind of just, you know, like I said, cold, harsh, and I don't know that you know, a lot of free agents are looking at it saying, yeah, that's a place I want to go. I love the way they treat their players.
Well, that's the issue right there. You know, you can see some of the Giants' point of view and some of the players' point of view, certainly. But how does that look on the outside for a team that already has trouble signing free agent hitters, okay, for a reason, you know, that we've gone over a million times?
Yeah.
Now you add this incident, and it doesn't help. And no, the Crawford incident, too, that didn't help. You're talking about a guy who was part of the greatest years of the San Francisco Giants, a central part of it, a beloved player, a guy who still, I think, can contribute. He had a lot of injuries last year. And you're bringing in Nick Ahmed, okay, who's a couple of years younger, maybe a little better fielder, but the same hitter. And I think Crawford still, with a healthy year, could be a pretty good player for them. Maybe not a huge contributor, not an everyday player, but a guy who certainly helped. And, you know, they're talking about Luciano, having this iconic player behind him will cause undue pressure. Man, if that's what's bothering you, you can't handle the major leagues anyway. And I don't know whether Luciano really feels that way. That just seemed like they were making an excuse.
Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah.
I thought they really bungled the Crawford situation. And, you know, the PR is a part of this job. I'm sorry. And Farhan doesn't always seem to be as attentive to that part of the equation, let's put it that way. You know, he's obviously a smart guy, but sometimes the smart guy thinks they're the smartest guy in the room, and that's not always the case, especially if you don't account for how this plays out in the public, because you are running a business. You know that, and you understand all the rules, but part of the business is you've got fans. How do you connect with the fans? Well, they're all kind of turned off right now, so that's not very smart.
No, I mean, the thing is that, you know, if you're going to have a rookie that you're replacing, yeah, maybe you don't have to give him a phone call, you know, if you're going to do that. But with J.D. Davis, I felt like he's a veteran player, and you made this move, and he finds out about it, you know, whatever, on television. You know, he finds out through the media. He doesn't get a phone call saying, yeah, we're going to sign Matt Chapman. It's not an easy phone call to make, but you got to make that call, I think. It's just to respect somebody who's been in the game. He's a veteran. He deserved to know that they're going to go get another third baseman, and we're going to try to trade you. And if we don't trade you, then we're going to let you go. But whatever you want to say to him, no phone call is really not classy.
I don't think so. And there are teams who will handle it different ways, and there are teams where you would not expect a phone call. I mean, it's not unusual for that scenario to play out. But, you know, it's a people business first and foremost, and in my view, you take care of your people, you know, and you show them some respect, like you said. And how hard would it have been to make a phone call? But they didn't do that. And that's, again, part of not being able to read the room in terms of people skills. I think on the flip side, they made a good hiring in Bob Melvin, who has some pretty good people skills and has some respect in the game, who players do like. And so, you know, that to me was sort of a more of a pro player's move. But then the front office acts like this. So it's a rather puzzling picture that they're presenting right now. I think that they still have some cleanup to do on this J.D. Davis thing. Now, we're talking about J.D. Davis, all right? The guy's a good major league player. He's not an all-star or anything like that. He certainly wasn't that last year. He's a guy that nobody claimed, and of course the salary plays into that as well. But teams weren't jumping at the chance to get J.D. Davis.
No.
he's a guy, all right? He's a decent major league player. But, again, he's still a human being. So I think it would have been right to accord him at least that level of respect.
One area I think that Bob Melvin is scoring points with his team already is, I don't know if you saw the story that Susan Slusser wrote in the San Francisco Chronicle. I think it was Susan. It was talking about Yastrzemski and Conforto both being much happier right now because it looks like they're not going to have a platoon like they did last year. They're going to just throw those guys in there most of the time. Yeah, you know, Slater's going to get his playing time. But, I mean, it really helps, I think, a player to know that most of the time you're going to get in there, you know, as long as you're, you know, doing your part and you're producing, you're not going to all of a sudden get platooned, especially when you're hot. And you're not going to get pinched hit for if you're 3-for-3 in a game. We saw that last year. So I think Bob Melvin is already scoring points that, you know, I think it was kind of disappointing to a lot of the players under Gabe Kapler in those situations.
Yeah, I think one of the things about a long season is players feel like they need the chance to develop a rhythm, right?
Yeah.
And if you're in and out of the lineup, and I hear this from basketball players too, when you're in and out of the lineup, in and out starting, sometimes you're benched, you can't develop a rhythm. And it's hard to go in cold in one game, in one situation, and continue to be productive. This whole idea of analytics is fine. More information is great. Platooning can work. We've seen it work, but there's such a thing as over-platooning. I think there was just too much tinkering going on, and it messes with the players' minds, and you have to have them in a good frame of mind because, again, you are dealing with human beings, and that's the part that sometimes the analytics folks miss, believe it or not. Or if they don't miss it, they undervalue it. And so hopefully for Conforto and Yastrzemski, that translates into production. That's the bottom line, of course.
Yeah,
Conforto's going to be a pretty intriguing guy for me this year because it sounds like he's healthy, swinging the bat well. So, and if he knows he's got a spot, he's going to be out there every day. All right, well, let's see how it goes. And you know, maybe they'll have to end up platooning him or finding somebody else to put in there if he slumps at the start of the year. But I think you want to get all the ducks in a row for a veteran player like that because, you know, he's still got some pop in that bat, and God knows the Giants need that.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have superstar players on this team, but they have some pretty good veterans. I mean, if you look at Conforto and Flores and Soler was a good pickup, and now Chapman. So, you know, I thought they did a much better job than maybe we thought they were going to do at the beginning of the offseason. You know, you kind of look at it now, and it'd be nice to see some of the younger players break through, like a Luciano, you know, Casey Schmidt. We saw a little bit of him last year. And, you know, he got off to such a good start, but then he wasn't able to sustain it, so we don't really know where he stands. I always like to swing, but it seemed like, you know, you're swinging at everything for a while there. So
yeah.
It's about, you know, hopefully one or two of the younger players breaks through.
Well, yeah, I'd like to have some young player from the farm system, a position player, break through for this team. It's been a while, you know, so.
Yeah, Bailey broke through sort of last year, and
Bailey
at least defensively,
sort of broke through.
Right.
Yeah, and that's an important one because defensively he's great. Can he be a consistent hitter? He kind of fell off, and part of that is probably the wear and tear of the job. I think they've got decent catching depth. That's certainly helpful, picking up Murphy. A lot of the fans like to say that Farhan Saidi's a dumpster diver. That really wasn't the case here this year. They did get some decent players for what they are. But there's not a superstar on this team right now. I mean, they've got an ace in Logan Webb who was high in the Cy Young voting last year. But really, this is not a team where the fans have connected so much with the players on the level they did, and part of that, is, of course, is they haven't won on the level that they did 10 years ago. But, again, I look at the lineup and I say, is there anybody there that scares opposing pitchers? I wouldn't say right now there's a guy you want to pitch around, okay? There may be some decent depth of this lineup, and if Soler and Conforto in particular, a lefty-righty combo, if they can be productive, that'll definitely help. Wilmer Flores. You know, these guys can all have decent years. Okay, they got a good offense, but it's not an offense that any pitcher circles one player and says, "Oh yeah, we got to make sure that this guy doesn't beat us." And you got Jung Ho Lee in the leadoff spot, who may be a catalyst. That'll certainly be helpful. I'd say a semi-intriguing team in that regard because there's so many question marks here that you want to see answered. But this is not a team that has created buzz. They just haven't. I look at maybe a better than a 500 team, and they have some money left over. And now with the J.D. Davis situation, even more money, they can get one of those free agent pitchers. And with all the other questions they have about their starting pitching, I don't see why, as we talked about before, you know, a weighted deal where you have a lot of money the first year and opt-outs, why that can't be done for at least one of these guys. Now, I hear that Montgomery wants to get a 6 or 7 year deal. That's one of the things that's keeping him out of the equation so far. And I wouldn't sign any pitcher who's going into his 30s for more than 5 years anyway. And certainly not a guy like Snell, who's a 5 or 6 inning guy. Now, those 5 or 6 innings are great when he's healthy, but that's not somebody you want to commit a whole bunch of money to long term. That's part of the problem. The other problem, of course, is the agent. I think a lot of these owners get tired of dealing with Boris.
When the Sports Virus podcast continues, we'll talk about the Golden State Warriors right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give them a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. All right, let's switch gears and talk about the Warriors, who have been missing Steph Curry for the last couple of games, and he's going to be out against the Mavericks. Looks like he'll be back for the game against the Lakers on Saturday, and boy, do the Warriors need him at this time of year. I mean, here they are. They're trying to battle to at least stay into the play-in and maybe move up. It's so tight in the standings, so that injury to the ankle came at a really a bad time for the Warriors. So what are you thinking about the way this team is playing? I mean, you know, if they get him back for Saturday, are they going to be able to make a run? They were playing pretty well there before he got hurt.
Yeah. And then they got a bad starting lineup against the Spurs, and they dug a hole, and they never got back out of it. They readjusted Monday and played better. They got to have a Curry, of course. And that's a must. You know, you kind of look at Dallas as, well, that's probably going to be a loss. Maybe they can steal one there. They had been playing better. That's the hard part about it. They had to have been developing a rhythm, and then Curry gets hurt. It's just one thing after another this last couple of years. And that's part of what you deal with when you have older players. So it's about also, I think, this year developing the younger guys and having them be contributing members of this team, and that is happening. That's the good part of it. Are they ready to take them to the next level? No. So you still got to have Curry, Chris Paul coming back, had a good game the other night. Those are the guys that, if they're going to do anything, those are the guys who are going to carry them there, those veteran players. But they also have to have some help from these young guys. And, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, my goodness. Oh, man.
That dunk is unbelievable to think about. I saw it live just watching the game, and I just couldn't believe it, man. It's just you jumped out of your seat when you saw him dunking over Wembanyama. I mean, Wemby, he's got a wingspan that's like 9 feet or something like that.
Oh, man, he dunked him all the way back to France. That was a soul-crushing dunk right there. But, you know, Wembanyama's a young player, and he's going to have moments like that. But, you know, this is another rookie, but it's a rookie who's played college ball. So he's had at least some tests and kind of toughened up a little bit. And obviously with an NBA dad, he's not overwhelmed by the league. And he approached Wembanyama like you should. Go right after him, especially a guy who's not physically strong enough yet, who's got that wingspan, but you know, it's pretty much a stick figure at this point in his career. You go right after him, and he did that, and man, what a moment that was, and that charged the whole team up, and they need moments like that. They need moments like Trace Jackson Davis blocking Giannis twice, then going down the floor and taking a lob for a dunk, or blocking Jaylen Brown in overtime against Boston. These are the moments that these young players can provide that charge up the whole team. So I just love the way that kid is coming along. Unfortunately, it's meant that Looney's kind of gotten pushed out. In fact, I guess his games played streak ended. That was too bad because Looney's been such an important part of this team, and he's such a great team guy, and he says all the right things, never makes a bad decision on the court. You love him, but you look at the physical attributes that Trace Jackson Davis brings, and it's eye-opening, and he's learning. You can see more and more. You know, he mentioned, and this is a great moment in the Bucks game, he mentioned that, you know, the first time he blocked Giannis was like, oh, wow, I just blocked the Greek freak. and then there's a scramble, and Giannis goes up again, and he recovers, and he blocks him again. And then he says, oh, no, okay, I can't get lost in the moment. I got to run down the floor. And he gets the lob and the dunk. And he's like, okay, he's still thinking about the game. So that shows a real high IQ. I think Brandon Podziemski has shown a pretty high IQ. So you like that. They're contributing and they're showing basketball smarts. And then you have, you know, all the older guys who have tremendous IQs. And I say it a million times, Draymond Green has maybe the highest basketball IQ in the game. You know, it's just the part that wipes out the IQ sometimes when he loses his temper. Chris Paul has a very high IQ. Steph Curry has a very high IQ for basketball. So, I mean, that mixture is intriguing. The problem is, Joe, they're in the 10th spot. The Lakers are playing well. The Kings are up there. The Suns are up there. And it's going to be pretty hard to climb over those guys and get into the 6th spot. I think probably the best case scenario is number 7 for them right now.
Yeah, I think all those close losses they had are really the thing that's kind of sticking with them. They're lamenting those games where they really could have won. I really like the way Chris Paul has been playing lately, especially, you know, coming back from his hand injury, and the chemistry that he has developed with Trace Jackson Davis has been great. I mean, they come down the floor and, you know, we know that CP3, he sees the whole floor anyway, but the way he sees Trace Jackson Davis and those lobs, I mean, it's been exciting to watch.
It sure has. And again, shows a young player learning from the older player and being smart enough to listen what he has to say. And you can see Paul talking a lot on the court to these younger guys. But the other part of it is, again, you get Curry back, and then you have Paul and Trace Jackson Davis and Clay coming off the bench. That's a pretty good second unit. Better than what they had earlier in the year. So all that is good, and, you know, it's just a shame this injury kind of tripped him up. Thank goodness it's not more serious, so it sounds like he's going to be getting back by the end of the week, and maybe they can develop a little momentum going into the playoffs. They're certainly a better team than they were at the start of the year.
All right, so the NCAA tournament is coming up. You've got all of these upstarts now that are, you know, starting to make it into the tournament at Longwood. It's like, how did Longwood get into the tournament? You know, Wagner, you know, these kind of schools that are getting into the NCAA tournament. But, you know, usually it just comes down to, okay, you got some teams that are just great at the top of the cream of the crop that end up getting to the Final Four. And there might be that one Cinderella. Do you have any feeling, Ray, about that one Cinderella that could get there?
No. I've sworn off brackets. I've gone to Brackets Anonymous. My heart's been broken too many times. Although, I'll tell you a little story real quick. About 20 years ago on KNBR, when Rick Barry was hosting and Gary Radnich was doing the midday, they had a little contest among the hosts to do a bracket, and the winner of the bracket would get a day off, and the person who had the worst bracket would have to do that person's show. I'm not sure how that plays if you have an agent, but anyway, they did it, and Gary Radnich says, here, Ray, you do it. You do the bracket. So sure enough, my bracket won, and I earned Gary Radnich, a day off. and I guess Rick Barry ended up doing the show, if I remember. So that was my only triumphant moment when it comes to brackets, and I got nothing out of it. But after that, like everybody else, I've had too much heartbreak to even. I mean, Longwood will lead the bracket in double entendres. There's no doubt about that. But beyond that, it's fun to see these schools like Oakland of Michigan, so forth, get into the tournament because it is one of the biggest sporting events of the year. There's no doubt about it. And so to give these kids from these small schools a little spotlight for a short period of time, I think that's great. And you know, you inevitably have an upset. You have a crazy finish, especially when Gus Johnson is announcing. You know that's a lock. Is he going to be announcing?
No, he's not with CBS anymore, so we won't have him.
Man.
But there's some great. I mean, look, Ian Eagle is taking over as the Final Four announcer, with Jim Nantz stepping away from that after last year. So Ian Eagle is the number one announcer. But you've got Kevin Harlan, who has a lot of exciting calls, and
and
Brian Anderson does a great job with the TNT calls. They're basically on any of the networks, so you'll hear those guys. And it looks like UConn's really kind of the favorite, but you've got schools like North Carolina, Kentucky, some of the blue bloods that are up there. But you're going to see some crazy upset. The only thing that bothers me about college basketball and in the tournament is the way these games end. If a team is up by, let's say, 8 points or 10 points, whatever, the amount of fouling at the end of a game, just get it over with. I know. I wish there was a way that you could just say, okay, that team's not going to come back no matter how many times they foul. We just got to get this game over with.
Yeah, that's bad TV and that's bad basketball.
Yeah.
And I've said it for years, you know, college basketball is not what it used to be anyway. It's been diluted. But the NCAA tournament is still great drama. Bad basketball for the most part, but great drama. You know, a lot of these teams just can't shoot. Now, they've gotten better, and this is the Steph Curry effect. I mean, if you really want to see some fireworks, watch Caitlin Clark for the women in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
She's getting some ratings, by the way, and she should. She's been tremendous. Cameron Brink from Stanford, who just decided to turn pro. And I guess her godmother is Steph Curry's mom, and their families are very close. So there's some great stories on the women's side, too. There's no doubt about it. But for the men, I'll tell you, just my gut, just from the basketball that I've seen, UConn looks really, really good. And of course, they're one of the blue bloods, and they look good every year. But if you ask me in 10 seconds, put some money on a team, okay, UConn. I feel pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. All right, well, we'll talk after the tournament is over. Thanks, Ray. And, by that time, I mean, look, Major League Baseball season will be getting underway, and we'll definitely have clarity on the Warriors and their situation going into the postseason.
Yeah, the Final Four are coming this way. So just when we get rid of the Snowbirds and the spring training people, there's still some more more action coming to Glendale. So that means that they won't drop the gas prices around here until everybody leaves after the Final Four. But it should be a lot of fun. And I know you've worked with a lot of these announcers you mentioned. I mean, I'll shout from the rooftops how much I think of Kevin Harlan. And I think Brian Anderson is very good. And I think it's a very good choice to have Ian Eagle on the tournament, too. But you've worked with a lot of these guys, and you know what professionals they are. So I'll just be listening for a lot of the announcers' calls, too.
Yeah, no, I've been really fortunate. Basically, you know, behind the scenes, just providing some of the little tidbits that they use. I was with Brian Anderson for a long time. This year, I'm on the Kevin Harlan crew, so, you know, trying to just provide as much as we can as far as the statistical information during the tournament. I'll tell you, it happens fast and furious because, when you have these upsets, when was the last time this happened and that kind of thing? But, you know, it's all on the computer, so we get it pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go. The interwebs win again. I depend on a lot on computers, but at the end of the day, whatever situation you're in, and this includes what you do, what the announcers do, even running and riffing on a podcast, you still have to be mentally sharp. And these guys are great at that. I don't think I've lost much of my fastball. I just have to make sure I didn't have a margarita the night before.
Exactly. No, I think it's about filtering the information. I mean, really, that's what it is for everybody. We've talked about the Giants being analytical. And, I think I read a story one time about Ian Eagle preparing for eight teams. I mean, that first day when you've got four games and you've got eight teams and you probably haven't seen maybe, you know, at least half of those teams, you've never seen them before. That's a lot of information to sift through.
Yeah, and he's great at it. And there's a reason he is where he is right now. He's one of my favorites as well. And his son is pretty good, too.
Yeah, he is. Noah, I know. What a family of announcers, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the easy remark is nepotism. But that only gets you so far, okay? I mean, my mom worked in the television industry, and she had connections that actually did help me to get my first job. I'll admit that. But in order to have a career, you have to have some ability. And I think Noah's going to do that as well. So good luck to him. But for me, it always comes down to how much homework you do. And like you mentioned, having to prepare for eight teams on one day, I guess Ian has got he's got a lock and a do not disturb on the hotel room door.
Yeah. I know. There's always this discussion about, where are we going? Where are we going? What city? All that and that. And then you start thinking, well, wait a minute. All we're going to be doing is just being locked into a TV truck or a hotel room. I mean, what does it matter where you're going anyway, right?
Yeah. You know, they could say you're on the moon. It's all a set. It's all a prop. I know how that is. But it's still a lot of fun, and we're lucky to have been able to do what we do.
Absolutely. All right, Ray, thanks a lot, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to the Sports Virus Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.